بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable علماء الكرام, respected and beloved students, I have recited before you two verses of the Quran and then a hadith of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his Nabi, Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to pose a question to the people. What is the question? That هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That are the people, that can those people who possess knowledge be equal to those who have no knowledge? In other words, people who are bereft of deen knowledge, can they be on par with people who have acquired deen knowledge? So this is what is known as a rhetorical question. It does not require a genius to answer the question. The answer is staring at us in the face. Common sense will tell us that the person that has no knowledge cannot but be on par with the person that possesses knowledge. The person of knowledge of deen in the court of Allah, in the sight of Allah, far surpasses and supersedes the person who has no knowledge. So even though the answer to this question is self-explanatory, we all know the answer, but in spite of that, for further emphasis, in another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. That Allah ta'ala elevates those amongst you who possess iman, that is in proportion to the degree of iman they possess, Allah Ta'ala elevates them in status. Similarly, وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ دَرَجَاتٍ. Those who possess knowledge, in proportion to the amount of knowledge they possess, Allah Ta'ala grants them higher status, higher rank in His sight, in His court. So the more knowledge a person possesses, the closer he comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in proportion to the knowledge of deen that he possesses, he will be able to practice that much on deen, and by practicing on deen for the pleasure of Allah, he comes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gains the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of all creation, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah ta'ala says, I have not created the species of jinn and the species of man except that they worship me. Some mufassirin have translated this, illa liya'rifuni, that I have created jinnat and mankind so that they gain my recognition. So we can only truly gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we have knowledge of deen and we put that into practice. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowledge was phenomenal. That is why he had the greatest of taqwa, the greatest of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest ma'rifat and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a group of sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they were casually discussing something, maybe some humorous incident came about, and they were laughing. When Nabi Sallam noticed this, Nabi Sallam said to them, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. That if you possess that amount of knowledge of deen as I possess, then you would not find time to laugh. You would laugh less and you would weep more, you would cry more. Because when a person has true knowledge of deen, slowly he begins to gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is the purpose of knowledge, to practice upon the knowledge and use it as an instrument to gain the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that way a person gains proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi knowledge was phenomenal. That is why on one occasion he said to the Sahaba Ikram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, that inni la akhshakum lillahi wa atqakum lahu. That compared to you people, I have the most fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have the greatest degree of taqwa. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knowledge of deen was the greatest. So his taqwa, his fear of Allah ta'ala was also of a very high degree. We affiliate ourselves to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. So it is our firm belief as people of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat that the amount of knowledge given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regard to the Zat of Allah, with regard to the Sifat of Allah, with regard to the laws of Deen, with regard to matters of the Akhirat, with regard to knowledge of Jannat and Jahannam, the knowledge given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of such magnitude that if the knowledge of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was to be put in the pan of a scale, and on the other pan we put the knowledge of the rest of the creation, whether it is a malaika, jinn, whether it is humankind, then the knowledge of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would far outweigh the knowledge of the rest of the creation. Such was the knowledge given to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if you look further, the knowledge of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that we cannot even begin to imagine. That is infinite. That is something we cannot even fathom. Which is why, when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was on the ship with Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam, traveling together, and as they traveled through the sea, hadith of Bukhari Sharif comes, that وَجَاءَ عُصْفُورٌ فَوَقَعَ عَلَى حَرْفِ السَّفِينَةِ. Then the little bird came, and it sat on the edge of the boat, on the edge of the boat. فَنَقَرَ فِي الْبَحْرِ نَقَرَةً. The bird bent down and it took into his beak a little bit of water. It was thirsty. Both these people, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam, they observed this. After observing this, Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam said to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, that Ya Musa, ما علمي وما علمك في علم الله إلا مثل ما نقص هذا العصفور من هور ذا البحر. That, oh Musa, my knowledge and your knowledge put together, when compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not even equal to the amount of water that went into the beak of this bird. In other words, it is not even a drop in the ocean. Such is the infinite knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with the knowledge that Allah ta'ala has sent to the world by means of his Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is therefore the taking, therefore us to acquire, therefore us to seek. We should spend every moment of our valuable time in this quest of knowledge, to increase our knowledge all the time. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa knowledge, in spite of being so phenomenal, yet Allah Ta'ala commands him, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. That say, make the dua, that oh Allah Ta'ala increase my knowledge. So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu is commanded to increase his knowledge, we, the ummatis of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu, all the more reason that we have to be constantly on the quest of increasing our knowledge. We are students of deen, We have the title Talibul Ilm. We know that Talib is the sigha known as Ismail Fa'il. And Ismail Fa'il contains within it the element of istimrar, continuity. So being a Talibul Ilm means that we have to remain continuously in the quest of seeking knowledge, increasing our knowledge, even after we leave the four walls of the madrasa, of the institute. Till our dying breath, we should make it our life mission to increase our knowledge, and not only increase the knowledge, to practice upon the knowledge. Hazrat Maulana Brother Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that this title given to students of Deen, Talibul Ilm, is an abbreviated title. It is a truncated form of the actual title. The actual title is Talibul Ilm wal Amal. That we should be seekers of knowledge, and also seekers that put that knowledge into practice. That is very, very important. Because the object of acquiring knowledge is to put it into practice. That is the object. So this quest of knowledge is so important. If we study the halat, waqiat, incidents of our pious predecessors, that how they remained at all times in the quest of knowledge. We look at people like Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi. When he became critically ill, he was in Deoband. A rumor spread like wildfire throughout Deoband that the Shah Sahib has passed away during the night. So when the rumor spread through the entire Deoband into the madrasa as well, asatiza, students, senior asatiza flocked to the home of Shah Sahib. Hazrat Mawlana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullahi, being among the senior asatiza, he went into the house. And he found that this was a rumor, although the Shah Sahib is critically ill, he has not yet passed on. When he entered the home after Fajr Salah to see how Shah Sahib is feeling, he saw Shah Sahib after Fajr Salah, as the sun was rising, sunlight was beginning to filter through in the courtyard of his home. So he was sitting on the step of his courtyard, so to say, on the stoop, on the porch, busy reading up one kitab, in that condition. So the Mawlana Shabbir Ahmad Sahib Usmani Rahmatullah went up to him and said to Shah Sahib, that Hazrat, the doctors have forbidden you to do any work that is physically exhausting or even mentally exhausting. Why are you busy reading this kitab? Mawlana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah said to Shah Sahib, کہ آخر کون سی وہ بحث ہے جو آپ کی نظر سے نہ گزری ہو. That you are so studious, you are bookworm. Which discussion of deen could there be that you have never researched? You have read up perhaps every book of deen available in the library of Deoband. But perchance, let's say for argument's sake, if there was some discussion that you needed to research, تو ہم خود نام کہاں چلے گئے تھے. Where did we disappear to? You could have approached us. We should have opened the kitab and researched that particular masala for you. So Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi, in that critical ill condition, he replied very meekly and in a very sublime way. He said to Hazrat Mawlana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullahi, کہ بھائی صاحب یہ بھی ایک روگ ہے جو مجھے لگ گیا ہے. That this is also like an addiction, a disease, that I cannot put my books aside. I have to be constantly in the companionship of my books. Even in this condition, I cannot rest without reading up a book. This was the position of these people. When we were in Deoband, South African students, we used to go in the khidmat of the Mufti Sahib, Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib, Gangoi Rahmatullahi. Like in this madrasa, alhamdulillah, similar trend in the madaris in India, Indo-Pak subcontinent, The Jummah is a day. When the students are off from the studies. So one of my South African colleagues, Saharanpur, is not very far from Durban. Because in Durban you cannot get all the luxuries that generally foreign students are used to. If you want to buy some butter, some cheese, maybe some pastries, cream cakes, you have to go to Saharanpur, which is about an hour's travel away. So one of my colleagues came up to the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi and said to Hazrat, because he used to be in the khidmat also for the Mufti Sahib, he said to Hazrat that I wish to go to Saharanpur, I need to take your permission. So Hazrat asked him, "Wahan jaakar kya karna? What you going to do there?" So he replied, "Hazrat kuch waqt guzarne ke liye." Like today also he say, to pass time. We want to chill time away, while away time. So the Mufti Sahib said to him very nicely, said, "Listen, if you need some occupation to pass your time," Hazrat took out a book from his personal library, a kitab, he gave it to the student and said to him, "Sit with this kitab. This is the best way to pass your time. That is the way of a true student. That even his free time he utilizes in increasing knowledge, in the quest of knowledge. Read up the case of our pious predecessors, Hafiz ibn Mundhar rahmatullahi, the famous muhaddith of his time. Up to the age of 20, whichever ulama were available in his hometown, all the muhaddithin of his hometown, when he got that yearning, desire to learn hadith, he sat at the feet of all the muhaddithin in his town, and he acquired whatever hadith were there to acquire in the town. He memorized them. No further knowledge for him to acquire there. So then he left his hometown and he went out in quest of knowledge. We come to the madrasas. We spend six years, seven years, 8 years. In India, people spend up to 10 years before they become an alim. But Hafiz ibn Mundhar rahmatullahi left his parents, left his hometown, left his siblings, left his family, and went out to seek knowledge. From the age of 20, he only returned when he reached the age of 65. 40 years out, away from home, in quest of knowledge, in different parts of the Muslim world, going to different asatiza, different mashayikh, in order to increase his knowledge. It is said when he returned to his hometown, he was riding a camel, and behind him, there was a train of 40 camels, all laden with books of hadith and books of deen. That was his aspiration, his desire to increase his knowledge. And that is the type of yearning, zeal, that we ought to instill within ourselves. Because the coastline of the ocean of knowledge is limitless. We cannot reach that coastline. Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Wajhahu used to say that if I have to sit down to write a tafsir of the Quran, that I am too preoccupied in administering the affairs of the Islamic State, but if I were to free myself and to write down tafsir of the Quran, I would be able to write a tafsir in so many volumes that according to one version he said it would fill 40 camels. In another version it would fill 70 camels. That would be the voluminous nature of tafsir. Imam Razi rahmatullahi, when Allah Ta'ala blessed him, he sat down to write his famous tafsir of the Quran before he commenced by way of tahdith and ni'mat. Not to brag about it, he said to some of his acquaintances that if I were to begin writing tafsir of the Quran, and that is my intention also, I have firm hope in the mercy of Allah that from Surah Fatiha alone, I would be able to extract 10,000 masail. Just from Surah Fatiha. when he eventually sat down to write the tafsir, leave aside Surah Fatiha. From ta'awuz alone, a'awuzu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, he extracted several thousand masail. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sam bin Nuri Rahmatullahi writes in one place, in Mushkilat al-Qur'an, he writes that I have read somewhere that certain mufassirin wrote tafasir of the Qur'an that amounted to 1,300 volumes, 1,300 volumes, tafsir of the Qur'an. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi used to say that according to my research, to date, 200,000 tafasir of the Qur'an have been written already. In Baghdad, in the 6th century Hijri, 30,000 huge libraries existed of Dini Kutub. When the Tatars invaded Baghdad, the Tatari fitna took place, then all these libraries were destroyed. Books were thrown into the river Tigris to the extent that the water of the river turned black because of the amount of kitab that was thrown into the river. So therefore, the ocean of knowledge has no coastline. The more we set aside time to increase our knowledge, the more Allah Ta'ala will give us barakat in that knowledge. But our intention must to put that knowledge, to put that knowledge into practice. Otherwise, there are severe warnings in the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, it comes to this effect that يُجَاءُ بِالرَّجُلِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ. A person will be brought forward on the day of Qiyamah. He will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. فَتَنْزَلِقُ أَقْتَابُهُ. When he will burn in that fire of Jahannam, his stomach will burst open and his intestines will pop out of the stomach. فَيَدُورُ كَمَا يَدُورُ الْحِمَارُ بِرَحَاهُ. He will begin to circle his own intestines, like a donkey that is tied to a grinding stone, goes in circles, he will also go in circles. فَيَجْتَمِعُ إِلَيْ أَهْلُ النَّارِ. People of Jahannam will also be shocked to see the severe punishment that this person is being subjected to. They will gather around him and they will look at him. They will recognize him. They will all tell him that, hey, listen, don't we know you? They will take his name and say, Ya Fulan, Alaysa kunta ta'muru bil ma'roof wa tanha 'anil munkar. Are you not the same person that is to enjoin the good, encourage us to do good, and the person who is to forbid us from evil? So if you are such a high and mighty person, a preacher, then what has caused you to land up here in this situation? So he will reply that kuntu amuru bil ma'ruf wa la ati wa kuntu anha 'anil munkar wa ati. That I used to encourage the people to do good, but I never did that good myself. I used to prohibit the people from evil, but all the evil that I discouraged people from, I committed all those evil actions. Basically, if we, as students of deen, do not practice what we preach, then there are severe warnings of this nature founded in the hadith. It is truly unfortunate, but because we are students sitting here of the madrasa, in the privacy of these four walls, nothing wrong to bring these issues up, something to look down upon in shame. Today perhaps students will notice, once Jummah Salah is over, students go out of these doors of the internal area of the masjid, and they begin to talk in loud tones, causing a huge racket and a noise. Something to look down in shame, that ordinary people, brothers of the public, have to tell the students, can you please remain quiet? We cannot concentrate on our salah. We know the dire warnings for people who make noise in the masjid, precinct of the masjid, that cause disturbance to people performing salah, and yet we do not practice upon that. Something to look down in shame. We are supposedly the future leaders of the community. If we cannot lead by example, then what can we expect from other people? Hazrat Siddiq Sabbani Rahmatullah used to say that a student that cannot discipline himself within the four walls of the madrasa, if he cannot abide by the rules of the madrasa, in the madrasa, then we can never expect the same from him out of the madrasa. He will always remain ill-disciplined. To acquire true discipline, we have to abide by the qawaneen, the rules, regulations of the madrasa. Afterwards, it becomes very difficult. Unless, of course, if a person is blessed, each person should do this also. Go in the company of a sheikh tariqat, and then do one's islah. Then perhaps the situation can be rectified. But if a person does not respect property of the madrasa, he remains ill-disciplined, rude to his asatiza, then out of the four walls of the madrasa, discipline can never be expected from him. This Maulana Siddiq Sabbani Rahmatullahi used to say. Sometimes you will find Adhan is over in the Darul Ulum Masjid. Local people, laymen, are coming to the masjid, and students are leaving the madrasa to go towards the shop, towards the bazaar, towards the marketplace. When Adhan is over, being within the four walls of the masjid, we should already be in the first saf, ready for salah. This is not time to go to the marketplace to do our purchases. Other times are allocated for that. But this is also something to look down in shame. Hazrat Abraham Haqsab Rahmatullahi cites an incident where in a certain shop an alim was sitting reading the newspaper. It was a coffee shop or tea shop. Adhan took place. The owner of the shop immediately left all his work and he proceeded to the masjid, and this alim continued to read the newspaper. So you can well imagine that what worth is of that alim in the heart of that shopkeeper. That when Adhan goes, we have been taught in our maktab, the shopkeeper must have thought that we have to go for salah. Here an alim of deen is sitting here. We have the opportunity sometimes to travel overseas, Canada, UK, Thailand, Philippines, Malaysia, where many of our students, graduates are there. Alhamdulillah, they are doing sterling work, engaged in the khidmat of deen, but we all have shortcomings. So sometimes we have to point this out. I had to point this out to some of our graduates that have the position of imamat, that in the namazes they do not observe the sunnah qiraat. In the madrasa we learn that in Fajr and Zohar you recite from the Tiwali Mufassal, in Asar and Isha Awsati Mufassal, in Maghrib Qisari Mufassal. Yet we find that these graduates, they want to emulate the Aimma of Haramain, because the Imams of Haramain in Maghrib Salah they will recite from the 15th para, 16th para Surah Baqarah, where they ought to recite from Qisari Mufassal, in Fajr, instead of from Tiwari Mufassal, from Surah Hujarat, they recite from Surah Baqarah, other places. So we also begin to emulate them. We have to follow the Sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not the Sunnah of the Aimma Haramain. So Alhamdulillah, when you bring it to their notice, they realize, they acknowledge the error, and they begin to try and observe the Sunnah as far as possible. Also, when many of our graduates perform their first salah, we learn in the madrasa, the hadith comes of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمُ الْقَوْمُ فَلْيُخَفِّفْ. That when any of you do imamat over people, they should make the burden light upon the muqtadis. In others, remaining within the parameters of the masnoon qirat, then too, we should not make the salah overtly lengthy. Some aimah in Isha Salah, they take up to 15 or 20 minutes. In Farz Salah, We are not required to recite like Ari Abdul Basit. Occasion is you sitting on the minbar, reciting Tartilan. So in first Salah, we ought to recite Takbiran. In Taraweeh, recite Hadran at a faster pace. Sitting on the minbar, Tartilan. In first Namaz, it should be in between, Tadweer, at a medium pace. So at a medium pace, sticking within the Sunnat Qiraatu, Isha Salah you can complete in 10 minutes, sufficient. Now to pull 15 and 20 minutes with Isha Salah, first and foremost, reciting from other parts of the Qur'an, other than the Awsat Mufassal, and then reciting the Qari Abdul Basit. That is not the way of our Kabir. That is not the teaching of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu sallam used to lead the Salah in his village on the outskirts of Medina, and the people complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in Isha Salah he is reciting from Surah Baqarah, making the namaz very lengthy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuked him by saying, La takun fattana. That do not create fitna among the people. Because what was happening there? People began to leave the Salah with Jama'at. They found the Salah too lengthy. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very harshly reproached him, rebuked him. So that is very, very important too. What we learn in the madaris, to put that into practice. So Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq inshallah, that as students of deen, we realize our complete title, Talibul Ilm wal Amal. We seek knowledge, put that into practice, and thereafter also propagate it to others. That is the third aspect. So putting into practice is very, very important. That way we can be an example for the ordinary people as well. If we do not practice, how can we become leaders of the community? Allah give us all tawfiq inshallah. First and foremost myself, to make amal and to practice. And Allah ta'ala give every single ummati of Nabi Karim Sa'azim to practice upon the teachings of Deen, the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana. الحمد لله رب العالمين.